you and Spence here at the Symbian Smartphone Show. Symbian's a huge ecosystem, and trying to work out what's going on is something that everybody tries to do. We try to do it all about Symbian, but you're joining me now just to pitch in with that discussion. First of all, to take the developer's point of view, Sander van der Waal from Embrain Software.
Hi, I'm Sander from Embrain Software. Made at the Symbian Show, and at this moment I quite like it because there's a lot of stuff happening. And it is things are more interesting than they used to be for quite a number of years.
Okay, and also after doing a keynote presentation and our pub meet on Monday from MobiConsult, it's Robert Harmson.
Hi everyone. I think this show is much more interesting. But on the other hand, most people or companies are focusing on location-based services, which is a very hot issue. But what I'll really miss in this whole show is the lack of interest in operators.
Yes, I mean, let's start off with that one. I mean, the ecosystem in the mobile phone space is certainly different to somewhere in the PC, whereas PC, you have the hardware manufacturing the consumer. In the mobile phone space, you have the operator sitting there as this great big monolith in between. And while we've got the hardware guys here, while we've got the programmers and the developers here, we don't see representation, certainly in the UK, from Vodafone, from Orange,
from T-Mobile.
Robert, let's start with you from a sort of consultant point of view. How important is it that they're not here?
I think it's a missed opportunity for them. And I know they're very, very much afraid of the new Symbian ecosystem. This location-based services, wireless for true phone people I spoke to again at your pub meeting. I know people from Gizmo, other solutions. It's an evolving industry. Location-based services, wireless for, it's absolutely going to happen, but it's blocked by the operators. And I can understand this, but because they are breaking down their whole ecosystem, their business model is going to disappear. So, but it will disappear anyway. They can't stop it. So they have to act, they have to play with it, they have to find solutions. And that's something I absolutely miss on this smartphone show. The lack of, they're not here.
Just the almost like that we're entrenched, we're not going to engage with you, but this is what we're doing and there's no discussion about it coming from the operators. That sort of noise?
Yeah, it's a little bit sound. I think also they are afraid. Maybe some of them are afraid for the confrontation. I spoke to so many developers, also on the Mobile Monday in Amsterdam. I spoke to many companies who have great ideas, location-based services, mobile AdSense, everything like this, wireless VoIP again. But the industry is ready. The hardware is there, the manufacturers are there, the solutions are there. It's just the operators. Because the operators know they're going to miss all the revenues. If they allow wireless VoIP, over 3G or HFSPDA, the whole business model is going to collapse. The same as in the SMS. You see a lot of companies appearing with instant messaging, which is perfect for end users, but also for enterprise solutions. But they don't want to promote it. Actually, they want to stop it. They can't stop it. So I wonder what's going to happen with all these very nice, fancy ideas.
So, Sander, you've done a lot of software, most of it in a sort of enterprise and business applications, things like your PDF reader, for example. What's it like as a developer trying to relate to the network operators?
Well, that is always a bit difficult. Main problem is, of course, distribution of your applications. Operators want to help distribute your apps, but they always also try to take quite a large cut of the money involved in front of it. Well, the amount of work they do for that is in my opinion, rather limited. They don't do much more than what, for instance, companies like Handengo or Motricity are doing. So it would be fair, I think, to give them a similar kind of rate. But now they do things twice. If you cut something with the premium SMS, they take something out of that. And it still takes the same amount out of the actual delivery and deployment. So I think that is a problem for developers because they're taking more out of it than I think that their fair share is. And that is, I can understand it from their viewpoint. But the problem, of course, the developer's viewpoint is different. And this is going to stay a temporary solution. As soon as there's power shift, things are going to be different for that.
If I may to add something, I think Sander has made a very clear point of this. I think that a lot of companies have to realize that if they continue like this, they're quite blocking the ideas of new applications and distribution of applications. And I think if they want the whole ecosystem going to evolve as it is going on now, please do not stop it by with thinking too much about money on this time now. You should give it some more opportunities first, and then when the ecosystem is becoming bigger and evolving, then the revenues will come. Not yet.
Maybe one example of the control. There was one operator here that did a keynote. It was NTT Docomo from Japan, and we all know in the business that the control that the operator in Japan have over their user base is much bigger than in Europe, and probably even bigger than in America. And what they did at the end of their keynote was a bit of a bombshell, I thought. And it was like this. They have said, okay, we have this MOAB phones, and basically that is a user interface. And below that user interface, there are two operating systems. SymUnimus at one hand, and the other hand, Linux. What they have now announced is that they're going to create a middleware layer that will completely hide the operating system, so that they can choose the underlying operating system at their will. It's means I think that they still want to have this control point, which is the middle layer. And so I think it is reasonable that NTT Docomo is making this response, but for them, because their control is complete, they are the least likely to give up this amount of control over their systems.
One of the questions that I have, Sander, and you've been programming back from before Symbian with Symbian, when there were, the number of devices, there were tens of thousands. We're now seeing hundreds of millions of devices. I mean, are you seeing a corresponding increase in sales of your applications, or is it, is the track slightly less?
Well, it depends a lot on the kind of applications you are selling. I am selling mainly to the business consumer. And for those people are looking at devices, and as soon as they got the device that they like, they start buying software for it. So I got my sales increased enormously when the E61 came out, and I expect my sales to increase again when the E90 comes out in great volume, because now we know we have this hardware manufacturing problems. As soon as they are solved, as I believe they are solved now, then I expect to see that business applications for those devices will make good money.
And we always hear that the great problem that developers have is getting their application onto the device, getting the awareness and getting it on. How have you managed to be successful in that?
Well, yeah, this is a matter of doing your advertising and your application itself right. It works. Application itself must be of very high quality. It must be very usable. It must not crash. It must be easy to install. It must be easy to find. And then you have to make the... You have to create awareness in the community, and I'll try to do that in a viral way, because that is, I think, most efficient for me, clever word to word from all the other people.
So. Yeah, I think also that you can see that there are so many good ideas, concepts for applications. And until recently, UIQ and Series 80 applications, they sold very, very well, percentage-wise, compared to the huge amount of S60 devices on the market. Now, since the E-series turned out to be like E70, E61 and E90, there is a shift. It's absolutely a shift. So now you see that the most developers, they get really good revenues now, shares for S60. Because there's a huge demand on it. S60, one point of view, you're going less in possibilities of the device, as an example, calendar. Then you see applications coming out like Heli Calendar for Epochware, which is almost a copy, a brilliant made copy of, excuse me, the old Sign Calendar, which was still, to my opinion, one of the best calendars ever made. So you see that they are picking these ideas up. And now this handy calendar will be absolutely, I think, a brilliant extra move towards to be a fully business-wise PIM solution inside Series 60. So... And we will see more of these kind of applications. So S60 will create more and more revenues, finally, for developers.
And there's something else that is going on with X-Series 60 is that there are new ways of creating applications. You've got Mobile Python, which is very interesting, I think, for the hobbyist programmer in the way that OPL used to be in the early days of Symbian and the Psion days. You've got widgets, which are basically web applications that you can deliver on the phone. and which take a lot of the hard work out of the programming. Basically, you only have to do is create the model, the stuff that does something, and all the presentation is being done in the web browser. This will make it much easier for the developers, also for hobby developers, to start adding their own stuff to their own devices.
And not to forget, the finally, that the signing procedures get really in a more normal way. So now it's possible for people to get the ideas and to write their ideas into a program.
This is with the launching of the Express Sign section, which brings the price down to between 20 and 40 euros.
Yes, that's a very important into the end use in the consumer market, but I think it's also very, very important in the enterprise market. Because as a consultant, I'm dealing, and Sander is aware of some of the projects I'm doing. There are basically these ideas were designed to do on a smartphone, but because of the complexity of the signing, after a certain amount of time of already programming, they had to switch to Windows Mobile because it was not possible to do it. It was too complex. If you have like 600 or 800 applications to be signed for one customer, one dedicated application, it can take you months to realize this after the application itself is already finished. So I've seen this really in practice, and I told this, I think, about 2 years ago or one year ago with Mr. Clifford once. They had to really do something about this signing. And I think you have some examples of this also, Sander. And it's really true. It really happened that it was 800 applications to be signed on E50s. But because it was too difficult to do, too much hassle, too much frustration, that eventually the whole project was cancelled and it was ported to Windows Mobile. And it was done within a week.
Yeah, I can add to that. I have some experience with helping a colleague of mine out doing a Symbian site for a large project in Holland with Dutch railway services. We finally managed to get everything signed and everything, but it was hard work. And the problem was, of course, that such a big company doesn't expect things like this to happen. So if they want to start using Symbian phones in business applications for even for other large companies, you want to make things as smooth as possible and as predictable as possible. Yeah. Because then, as you manage the program, you can say to your customer, I can do this and this and such amount of time, and you can deliver on that. And if you have to go back again, okay, I have to. It takes time. It won't work. Symbian won't be in the enterprise business then.
So one of the things I'm noticing at this show more than previous shows is there seems to be less emphasis on the sort of race to get the best hardware specs in the phones. It seems it's pretty much solidified down, and now we're into that part of leveraging the software for various areas. We've touched briefly, as you said, Robert, on the huge glut of location-based services and the enterprise stuff. You're getting about 50 or so applications now coming bundled on a device. Sander, as a programmer, do you look to do better versions of the onboard applications, or do you look to fill in the gaps? Or, you know, where would you say that we're going to see the most growth in software? And dare I say, software as a service, it's going to help drive Symbian.
Well, that's very hard to say because it depends very much on the application that's on the device and whether a given person is interested in those applications. What you're seeing now is that devices are being targeted at different kind of groups. You have business devices with business applications built in. You have consumer devices with consumer applications built in. I think depending on your own views as a developer and the knowledge in your own capabilities, that this will still be possible to add value to applications on the device that you can create better versions. But of course, your business case has to be more thought out than it used to be when the device was much bare bone. But on the other hand, because of the increased number of possibilities of runtime platforms, as this is being called, it becomes now possible to do very simple things in a very simple, short amount of time. I have done applications that are very simple in C++, but C++ is too complicated for simple applications. But with maybe mobile Python or with widgets, or maybe Java, when the YAZEL starts to be incorporated into the hardware, which is an ARM processor that can do Java natively, then you can start moving to simpler environments and do very simple things and still make a good living out of that, because you can be very agile very quick with such environments. And the heavy duty stuff that does the camera things and the image manipulation you can still do in C++, where its strengths are. And then you can get, because you get more opportunities, you can...
In combination with express signing, absolutely.
Of course, yeah.
But I think that's also a very important thing to understand about sales and hardware, what you just mentioned, Jeroen. I think until recently, most buyers, and then about Nokia smartphones, S60 phones, they bought a device because of the way it looks. They bought the device because of a gadget. It has a camera in it, it has a music player in it, and that's it. They were not using the client-server applications. They were not using maybe mobile email, maybe very sometimes web browsing. But most of these buyers are a lot of them, percentage-wise, maybe 80%, they don't use it because they don't have data plans, because they were too expensive. Especially in some countries like in the Netherlands, you get a phone for cheap, almost for free, if you get a new contract. So they are looking on the websites and comparing the devices, how fancy it is, how good does it show off to my friends. I think now we have reached the point that people are aware of the possibilities of these smartphones. So they are less focused on the way it looks, they are more getting more and more focused on the possibilities of the device, like N95. Why do we buy N95? It's still because of the camera, but it's also because of the built-in GPS, which is targeted mainly at this moment still for navigation, but there will be location-based services, but we'll see web browsing, mobile email, instant messaging. So I think this is finally changing. So people are not buying it just like being fancy gadgets. They're really considering which phone I have to buy now because I want some kind of solutions which are already in there or which I can purchase afterwards.
You talk about there about the market conditions, and obviously the end goal of everyone in the industry is to sell more phones. If you sell more phones, then people like Nokia make more money. If you sell more phones, there's more space for you to make applications. So if you take Symbian's big announcement, which is their freeway screenplay and SMP, which is basically the caching of the ARM processors, the video playback and the connectivity changes. How are they going to bubble down over the next year into the handsets? What difference is that going to make to you and the ecosystem as we go forward over the next 12 months?
I think what you will see is that applications will become much more faster than you would expect them to be when you just scale up the processor frequency. If you have multiple cores, you can do two things at one time. For instance, if you have something, I'll talk about PDF Plus because I've been thinking about that already. I can read the file in one thread with one core, and I can render the file with the other thread, so I can write to the screen with the other thread, which makes the program maybe twice as fast compared to it is now, because now one processor has to do most of the work.
Instant on applications, instant on purposes, solutions. I think that's going to happen with this new hardware, with everything going on. It will create new opportunities, but also less frustrating to the end users. They don't want to wait. They want it snap on and to be there immediately on demand.
So do you still see Symbian as being the sort of dark, almost unknown quantity in the modern smartphone? So they're just going to hide at the back and just, you know, they're known by the trade, but not really by the end user?
At this moment, it is so that Symbian is indeed a complete unknown to the average phone user who has a smartphone from Symbian. I think it's even worse because the X60 brand, which is a brand targeted at the end user, still doesn't conjure up imagines of ideas that the end user can do stuff with their phones. So if this has to come to its full potential, then both phone companies and operators and everybody else in the business, software developers, have to say, you have to think, people know about Windows, because Windows is a computing platform you can add your own software to. People will have to think about, for instance, X60 and UIQ in the same way. I have this UIQ thing, and then I can add certain things to it, which are UIQ-based. You have to have some kind of name to it. That don't matter whether it's UIQ or Series 6 or something else. But you have to have some kind of label attached to your phone that will get an instant recognition from the customer. Okay, I can do these things, add these things to my phone. And if you don't do that, think all the all the possibilities you get with the extra hardware and the cheaper data plans and the extra connectivity are still not being fulfilled with full potential, because people won't see that they can add things to it.
I remember about 4 years ago, I think it was the first, or 5 years ago, it was the first Symbian smartphone show, Expo called in those days. And I remember I asked Mr. David Wood about marketing Symbian, because everybody knows if you buy, in those days, a pocket PC, because Windows Mobile Phone Edition didn't exist in those days.
It's all over the box and the handset.
Exactly, it was on the box, it was powered by Windows Mobile. And so I asked him, and he told me, and I was very confused by his answer, because he told me that it's not our job to market Symbian. It's the job from our licensees. So Nokia should market the name Symbian, or Sony Ericsson should do this, or other brands should do this. And it's been always on my mind, this what he said. I think now you reach the point that now I think on Nokia boxes you finally find the S60 logo, or you see a Symbian logo. So it's getting there. Also, I think it's also on the set A box, finally Symbian. But the brand name Symbian, it's getting more known because of websites like All About Symbian or your colleagues. So I think most end users will start to understand what Symbian is. But if you look at this percentage-wise, it's still nothing. Because my neighbor, my grandmother, my mother, my kids, maybe they know. Okay, my kids probably bad examples, they know. But all the other people, they know about Symbian. They know Nokia, they know Sony Ericsson, they know Motorola, but they have no clue about the possibilities of what you can do on this phone. And that's it's an operating system like Microsoft Windows, only a little bit better.
So a lot of challenges ahead. Obviously, a lot of challenges already overcome. Now, we're just going to close off the podcast now. And let's go with, if you can give one piece of advice to Symbian, you know, what to go forward for the next year in any area. What would you say to them?
I think concentrate on marketing the brand name Symbian to the whole world, so not to a percentage-wise very small group of freaks, gadget freaks, idiots, whatever you call them, like us, but focus them also that it's a mobile operating system compared to your desktop, and desktops are evolving into mobiles. So people should aware of that in the near future, you don't need your laptop, you can do more things faster with more fun on a smartphone. But to choose which kind of smartphone, they have to focus on the standard system, standardization. So I think branding the name Symbian is important.
Yeah, I can only add to that I think this is indeed the right way to do. I'm not quite sure whether it has to be the Symbian brand name or some more Series 60 or UIQ kind of brand name, but they have to have a very clear brand telling their customer that they have a phone that can be expanded with limitless possibilities as long as people are willing to buy extra things for it, extra software, maybe extra hardware in the near future. But you have to have that recognition that there is a brand. And I think Windows Mobile is one of the good examples of this branding. They are very well aware of their brand and they are using it to the full extent, and Symbian should do something similar.
Yeah, you have Microsoft, and that Microsoft has XP, Microsoft has Vista, and you have Symbian, and Symbian has UIQ and S60. Basically, it's the same thing.
There we go there. Robert, Sander, thanks very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Ewan.
And we'll have links back to Robert's Mobi Consulting and Sander back at Embrain, back on allaboutsymbian.com. It's the Symbian smartphone show here coming from London's Excel Centre. And we'll be back with more interviews at some point. But for now, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2007.